Advice from a dipshit. Advice from a dipshit. Advice from a dipshit. It's advice from a dipshit with Matt Fronger. Fuck. Welcome to Advice from a Dipshit. I'm catching up. What? We start? No?
No. We're good? I'm starting it at fuck. Well, this is
That's great. That's where I wanted to start. You always, rule number one, always start on fuck. I'm catching up with my buddy, Jen Kirkman, who is here as a guest. And you can chime in anytime. There's no, you have that look of just like, when am I?
No, wait, I'm waiting.
When are you cutting
I'm
the
waiting.
Leash?
No, I'm waiting.
Yeah. So, and we're, she just said combined, we're 88 years old.
So we're going to be very wise.
We're very wise and close to death. I'm psyched to have Jen on because we go back 20 years, probably almost.
Yeah.
19 something. Less than that, like maybe like 15.
I think 15.
So that's about how
long. I got
long.
To LA about 2002.
Okay. I got here 2003, I think, 3 or 4. And we met hanging out at the Parlor, which is now gone.
Yes.
In West Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
That was just a place where we did Kyle Kinane, Eddie Pepitone, and a bunch of other people would go and just do stand up. And we hit it off when we've been platonically married ever since.
Yeah,
we're basically like those people that are like, they live on opposite coasts, but they're like, I still
That's
have
That's how they make it work.
Yeah. Well, and it's there's an allure when you're at like a cocktail party, which we go to dozens a week, and you go, you basically say, I have a wife, and you walk away. And they're like, what? He does? I've never seen her. And the people are like, she doesn't live here. And Jen's been like working in New York for 7 months, so it's perfect.
It's great. Yeah.
And if you don't know Jen Kirkman, you should. She's one of the funniest stand-up comics out there, has several Netflix specials, is an accomplished writer, has 2 books. So
yeah.
Get on the Kirkman train, folks, because she's amazing. And she's here to listen to calls. I know, she can't take compliments, which I love.
It.
You're like my wife. Just like,
yeah, his
stop.
Real life.
Talk about, yeah, my real, my
Who's
real
my
life.
My manager,
life.
By the way.
That's
is
true.
Is that too personal?
No, you can share that. I mean, I talk about how Kara
Why
is.
Why would that be personal?
Kara is my ex-manager, and that's how, you know.
It work. It makes a better marriage.
It's so much
she's
better.
She's not managing.
Fuck, when we were dating and working together, it was just like, like, it was kind of like, there were kind of highs and lots of lows.
Yeah.
So it's just,
And I'm sure, like, a woman who's married to any man, like, you're their manager anyway.
Well, yeah, sure.
So it's like she's going to pipe in with ideas, and you get to say no instead of here's 10% of everything.
She's taking 100 now. That's the joke that everyone says. So now she gets 100%? She makes more money than I do. Guys, let's...
That's because she's getting 10% of this.
That's what's
this.
Up.
No, I'm kidding.
It's all... But anyway, it's very incestuous. But Jen and I have our own thing. It's hilarious. Like when she left, because we joke about how we've been having an affair, and we've never had anything. You know,
no, that's why it's funny.
Amanda's look is like the nod of I didn't ever think that. Yeah, that's.
But like also,
that's
it
why
just,
it's great.
It would just be the least funny joke if we had a past and we still texted about it.
Yeah, we've been like brother and sister forever. It's like I'll still say to Kara, be like, you know, I'll text you and be like, hey, lover, listen, you know, whatever. And like she left the house and I was like, Jen's coming over today. She's like, awesome. She's like, well, that's cool. And I'm just like, I don't know. This affair has been going on so long. I don't know if it's awesome. She's like, shut up. Like, there's still that part where it's still like, it's not really that funny. With that said, as the folks who are maybe your first time listeners, you don't know, I never hear the calls beforehand. Amanda curates them all. She is the absolute, let's say, dungeon master for you fucking nerds out there. She collects all the calls and she picks the ones we're going to listen to. And she's our curator. So let's see what she's chosen for us today. Roll the first call.
Hey, Matt. So I'm going into my last year of college and I spent the last couple months working and I've been spending all my money. So I'm going back to school with not a whole lot of money in my pocket. I'm wondering, should I sell weed? Is that better than working a pizza delivery job or working at some shitty bar?
What?
Get back to me.
No, don't sell weed, man. Dude, Jesus Christ. I will say this, and I will throw it to you, Jen.
Mm-hmm.
There was a point where when I I try to base this show on, draw from my own dipshittery. Mm-hmm. So here's one of mine. Many of you know I got arrested for drunk driving when I was in my late 20s, visiting my parents on vacation before I set off to chase my dreams in L.A. I thought it'd be a two-week, you know, little party vacation. It turned out to be 4 months because I basically had to do community service for 4 months to defer it, to get that off my record. And I remember when I finally left, I was all choked up and I hugged my mom and went, you know, got in the car, loaded up all my stuff. I remember having that thought of maybe, you know, I love Portland so much. Should I chase my dreams or should I just live here and sell weed and be an asshole? And not to say you're an asshole, man. That I'm just saying, like, I know exactly where you're coming from, where there's that thing where you think there's some magic door. There's no magic door. You sell weed, you'll probably get caught. Someone you sell to will probably get busted and the cops will flip them and you'll get put away. And look, marijuana is very close to decriminalization, so give it 5 years, I would say, before you sell weed. What's your answer, Jen?
Yeah, I agree. I think that you'll probably get... It's just if you get caught, it's just a hell that you don't need, mm-hmm. especially for something you're not even that in love with. It's like, should I... You know, if you were some kind of weed curator that was really... I'm passionate about, like, some Dallas Buyers Club thing. Like, I'm really passionate about this, yeah, you know.
This is life or death for me.
Yeah, but it's just like, I know you're just trying, yes, you'll make more money doing that than at a pizza place, but this is where I always go. And also, I do think weed is only a gateway drug if you sell it. You're selling that now, man? You know, you make a lot more with crack.
Fuck,
I mean,
good
you
point.
Never know. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's a gateway drug if you're taking it, but... Yeah. Selling it. The other thing is, if I could go back to college, I always had this idea, while I'm studying the arts, I will never get paid in that, so I'll just be a waitress. Like, it didn't even dawn on me. Maybe try a little bit. As long as you're bothering to go to school and be broke,
yeah.
Maybe try to make some money in your chosen field if there's any way to do it.
Yes.
And I never thought about... Actually, and then at the same time, I always say to people, as we've seen with Jeffrey Owens from The Cosby Show, is working at Trader Joe's,
yes.
If you cannot make money in your chosen field, don't be a bitch, suck it up, work where you work, a paycheck's a paycheck.
Yes.
But if you can, think about maybe, I don't know what he's going to college for. Mm-hmm. I don't mean that in a, I mean, I literally don't know the
we
second.
We don't know.
Yeah. But if, I don't know, I just feel like maybe it's not just between shitty pizza and something illegal that brings in a lot of money. Maybe there's some... effort to be put in here.
Yeah. No, it's, you know, it's funny. Ugh. Like
And I hate young people making effort. I do not want to encourage
seriously.
Any more entrepreneurs, but you have more resources than we had. We didn't have the internet. You know, you could sell shit on Craigslist. Mm-hmm. That's always my answer.
What I feel like it's infinite options, infinite equals infinite paralysis.
Yes.
Where it's kind of like, you know, you can run the family farm or get into the pictures, like one of the two, and break your mother's heart. You either break your mother's heart or you don't, and, you know, you make your own heart. Like back in the day, you had to shatter your family to chase your dreams. You don't have to anymore. What am I talking about? No, but I feel like I wasn't even looking at it from your angle. I was looking at it in terms of you're going to go to jail and you're basically like, should I sell weed? It's kind of like, I don't know, should I like kill people for money? Like, you know nothing about that. You were never in special forces.
I have the same opinion as you.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
No, agreed. Yeah. But I like how you came at angle you came at it from, which was instead try to make your living off what you want it. Like, you don't want to sell weed. You don't want to.
Yeah.
You obviously don't. And there are other options other than delivering pizza. I had a weird thing in my head where I thought where he was going to go a little darker, but not illegal. Like, I don't know, should I like dance at bachelorette parties? Like, I thought it was going to be something like that.
That is actually a great idea.
Sure.
If you have a good body, dance at bachelorette parties.
Yeah, shake that young meat. think we got our episode.
As close to prostitution as you can get, because that's also illegal.
Yeah, no.
Do it.
And don't walk too close to the fire that way. You know, it's like, I don't know who had that joke about that magazine that used to exist. Does it still exist? Barely Legal. It's like a porn mag.
Oh, yeah.
Where it's like, someone was like, isn't that basically saying you're almost a pedophile?
Yeah. Like, technically, you're
same
not.
Thing. Like, don't be like, I mean, I'm not a prostitute, but I like, I don't know, massage dudes' butts for money. Like, yeah. Again, let's go.
That sounds like another great way to make a quick buck, though. There's so many dudes.
I guess it depends on the price, right?
I mean, yeah. I think what we're describing is also illegal. It just seems like way harder to get caught. Because you get caught selling weed. They're like, they walk in and you have weed.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not going to necessarily walk in with a butt cheek in your hand. It's your word against his.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and how do you prove you're a good butt masseuse besides doing it? you know, and I had to get that much money up front. I don't do that.
That's what you say to the cop. You go, you really think I'm a butt masseuse?
You really
pull
think
your pants
I know
down.
How to
I'll
rub a
you.
Butt? Yeah.
And then give him the worst
I'll show you
massage.
How lousy I am. And the cop's like, stop, stop, stop. All right, fine. Get out of here. And it's, you brought up Dallas Buyers Club. There's someone that wrote a thing that made me laugh so hard about like how they had to at the beginning. You've seen it, right?
Yeah.
And they had to at the beginning of the movie show that he was not gay at all. He's like fucking several chicks.
Totally.
They're sweaty near where like bulls are. Like yeah. What a fucking stud. Holy shit. This guy ain't gay at all. He got AIDS? Oscar. You know, like yeah. It's that thing where as much as Hollywood is like, I'll watch movies I loved growing up and be like, oh, this sucks.
It's so, yeah.
Because you can tell how like Hollywood studioed to death it is.
Where, before like, you walk out of this theater, he's not gay.
Guys, did you watch the beginning? Holy shit. That chick he fucked, so hot, bro. Bro, so hot. And it was just, it's just that thing that they had to put, there was no reason for that scene.
No.
He could have just like got up from a bed and zipped his pants up and been like, that was real good fucking and walk out
right.
or whatever, you
right.
know, I mean, that scene he's punching up. But you know, like something like he is having sex with a woman. There it is. You know, they're not.
Even you don't even need that scene. He's telling his friend, he's like, I've had sex with a woman. Anyway, I have this.
That's my favorite.
I have this terrible
That's
cough.
That's my favorite. Because you.
The equipment is falling.
Oh, no. Because I laugh too hard. I love it. I wish we had visual on that because you looked at me as if you realized, like, oh. You know, like, they're having, like, a hungover brunch, but they were drinking in other places the night yeah. before. And he's like, so what'd you do last night? And the guy's like, oh, man, I got ripped to the tits and just fucking went home and watched a movie. And then I barfed. And what'd you do? And he's like, I had sex with a woman. Like, you just, oh, that's cool, man.
I'd forgotten until this very moment. But one thing I never forget is to find the right gender to have sex with. Because for me, I'm a heterosexual. And then the movie can start.
Then the title pops up right then.
Dallas Buyers Club.
Dallas Buyers Club. And it was like, what is this movie about?
Well, we know one thing.
What?
It's about a heterosexual.
And the guy stating that he's like, that's who I have sex with, women, because I'm a heterosexual. That is like 100 times less silly than the scene they used.
Yes, I think you're right.
It's both like, nah, I don't buy that. No one says that shit out loud for no reason. It's just, this movie should be called Exposition.
Oh, that'd be great.
That would be good.
It'd
All right,
be a
let's,
great sketch.
Let's roll the next.
If I wrote sketches.
You should. Let's roll the next call.
Hey, man. Got a question for you. I'm a young man, about 24, and I had a bunch of bad shit happen to me when I was a kid that I think I've come out stronger because of it. But one kind of negative is that, let's take an example, like a fight with my girlfriend. My immediate go-to is to think, well, is somebody dying? Is this the end of the world? And if the answer is no, which it usually is, I find it really hard to care about the issue or take it seriously, even if it's something that, you know, is serious enough for her to cry about. Causes other problems, like at work when I don't react, you know, as much as somebody wants me to some news they give me or something. How do you kind of, you know, solve that? And is the answer to just fake emotion and fake, you know, interest in that kind of thing? Or, you know, how could you help me get around that? Thanks. Bye.
I'm burning.
Take it. It's all you.
I'm like literally an expert on this.
It's all you.
Okay. You honestly might be what's called an adult child. There's like literally a 12-step program you can go to for this.
Oh,
it's
wow.
like people who are children of alcoholics or dysfunctional families, and you never learn to have normal reactions to things.
Oh, wow.
So I noticed it right away when he said, but a lot of bad stuff that happened to me, which I think made me stronger. I knew right away he's never felt his feelings about anything.
Wow.
He knows the answer. We all know the answer. We're going to get stronger from the hardships. And so we jump to that instead of feeling our feelings about what happened. Because we go, what's the point? We already know that we're going to be stronger. At least it wasn't in Afghanistan or starving. No, you have to allow yourself to feel the feelings. But when people fuck you up, when adults fuck you up, they don't give you self-esteem, and you need self-esteem to believe that you're worth feeling feelings about and grieving, going, I didn't deserve that.
Yeah.
So he never felt his feelings. That's why he can't have empathy for anyone else. And he wants to jump to the end because he thinks it's going to be so painful. And of course it'll be painful because you weren't given the tools to process normal emotions. So you are codependent. You could read any book about codependency or any book about children of dysfunctional families. I'm sorry, this is a serious answer.
Serious answers are good.
Oh, this is my bread and butter. Like, I suffer from a lot of this, and I got to tell him that my life has changed from looking at stuff that I was like, oh, it's fine. Oh, it's fine. Oh, it's fine. And I used to feel sort of like, I'm not like everyone else. Like, I don't have feelings the right way or whatever, because eventually what's going to happen is this stuff gets worse.
Yeah.
And he will go from not being able to empathize with his girlfriend to having outrageous emotional reactions. So it's not going to get easier as he gets older. And as people get more frustrated with him, like, where are you in there? He will burst one day. So I really think that, but what he's saying, his instinct to fake empathy is not a bad one, because it's going to take stuff like that to get him normal again. So if he reads books about it, finds self-help groups, something where that's why I always love anything, right? I mean, it doesn't have to be 12 step, but I love like when you meet other people that have the same problems. Like,
totally.
And I think that if he had even a therapist that specializes in anyone that has an understanding of what he's saying, he can then empathize with them and then learn, you know, he just has to learn to have it for himself first. Mm-hmm. Then he can have it for other people. So I totally relate to what he's saying, but he's so smart already. He's already halfway there because he recognizes it's from childhood,
mm-hmm.
and he knows, but he just jumped way too quickly to I'm stronger for it. Like, not there yet.
Yeah. I mean, I think he sees it as strength. And the thing is, he's obviously a smart guy, and he's also a kind guy, because he's like, I recognize what I'm doing is wrong, but it is this tendency I have. And he even denigrated himself for being young, where it's like, you're 24.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, I mean, I think it is smart when you're young to kind of be like, I really don't know anything, but you do. You know a lot.
Oh, he
you're
just,
going to know way more.
All. Yeah,
but I think your point was really well made in a lot of ways, and in one way that really caught my ear and my thoughts was that he thinks it's going to fix itself when he gets older. You know, like it's just like, I'm only 24 now, so this will get fixed. You know, it might be like a something he assumes, and it's not true. You know?
No, that past follows you everywhere. It's like saying, like, I'll have a different foot when I'm 40. It's like, it comes with you. You have the same one that you had when you were a baby.
Yeah.
It just looks different.
Mm-hmm.
Veinier.
For sure. It'll be more weathered. It'll be carrying maybe some more weight. I don't know.
A fat foot?
It'll be on, the weight will be on top of, above the foot.
It's carrying.
It's
carrying. I'm sorry there's such a serious answer. The other thing, though,
don't be. It's like, we make this as entertaining as we can, but it's like, everything gets treated sincerely.
Oh, okay.
You know?
And also, just like, I don't know what the kids are doing these days, but I assume he's not going to end up, like, forever with the person he's with at 24.
Sure.
So, like, cut your losses there. I don't know, I was trying to say something edgy.
It's her fault, is the point we're both making. My feeling for this guy is to like find a group, you know, anytime you have to find others like you in life, and you don't have to spend all your time with them, but like maybe like an hour a week to just sit
something.
Down.
Something, because I don't know what his thing is that happened in childhood, but if he was like abused in any way, there's places he can call.
Yeah.
And even if you're like, no, it's fine, because I could be in a gutter. It's like, that's the spectrum. And I think no one talks about this.
Yeah.
Like, oh, they were abused when they were younger, or they were manipulated, or they're whatever. It's like, sure, you could be in a gutter on drugs, or you could be a mildly dysfunctional person in relationships, which I think actually makes life harder, because you're walking around disguised as normal, and everyone's like, what's wrong with you? Whereas we see what's wrong with you if you're in the gutter and on drugs, and there's stuff for that.
Right, yeah,
like,
exactly.
I think it's harder to just be like, as they say, passing as normal.
Yeah, and it's really easy to look at anyone in the world that's doing worse than you and going, I don't have real problems. It's like, you do. Everyone has real problems, and you have to deal with them. And, you know, maybe don't. I think this guy is erring on the right side, where it's like, I just don't want to make too big a deal of it. Because there are people that like live for their problems, and like, I'm suffering, none of you understand, and they put up a wall like that. This guy is certainly not doing that. But at the same time, I'm just going to guess he didn't just have an uncle who always made stupid jokes all the time. I think that's probably not
probably a little worse.
That's probably not what made him what he sees as made him stronger. It's probably something really serious.
Yeah.
When he says it like that, and it's always people that kind of toss off. It's so funny. This is going to sound like a weird little analogy and things, but there's a part. I was thinking about great actors that you see like a performance that's just like holy shit. And there was that actor, and he just died a couple years ago, but he had a real kind of high pitched delivery, and he was a small man. He had a mustache. He was bald on top, and he was always a weird character in movies. Hmm. And he was the guy. If you remember the opening scene of The Fisher King with Robin Williams and Jeff Bridges,
it's been too long.
He basically lays in front of, in this very dramatic old gay man fashion, lays in front of like horse drawn carriages to commit suicide, but like they don't even really, they just stop, and he's like Robin Williams' character is just like, he's like, what are you doing? And he picks him up, and he's like ball gown, and he's so sad, and he's just, and he's like, well, what's wrong? And he's like, and he throws out all these dumb reasons, and then this toss off, he goes, well, that and all my friends died. And it's this thing where it's like, oh, that's why. And I remember seeing that as a kid and being like, oh, and thinking about the Holocaust of gay men we had in the 80s where they were wiped out by AIDS, and it was that thing where no one gave a shit.
Yeah,
no one cared. You know, if I'm honest, I was a young guy, but I cared.
Yeah.
But I was also, it was not a thing where if that happened now, I think I'd just always be crying. You know what I mean?
Totally. Like, yeah.
Because it wasn't addressed, it just hit me in the heart, and it's same thing with this dude where he's kind of like, he's like, yeah, I went through something, and you know, but it probably was fucking horrible.
Yeah, and that thing he's doing to survive, where it's like, it's fine. That was survival as a kid, but now we're allowed to feel the feelings, but you got to be in a safe space. Like, you can't feel them, you know. I don't know. I'm trying to think of somewhere. I literally just saw, I thought I saw something move. Like an earthquake, but it wasn't.
Oh, well.
I keep mentioning earthquakes in your bookshelf.
This house was owned by like a 96-year-old man, so I always think the ghost of George is here.
Okay, because I swear to God, I thought I saw a picture frame.
Did it look like a little old man?
No, I just thought I saw a picture frame kind of waver, and I was like, oh, is there? But I didn't feel anything underneath me like an earthquake.
No, I didn't either.
It also just could be my eyes are going crazy, and I'm maybe going to have the aneurysm or something.
Or you're remembering like a really corny uncle growing up. You're like, fuck. Like I said that and that like awakened some memory.
I do have, do you want to hear a joke by one of my uncles? It's
pretty much always.
It's homophobic, which I think ties into an earlier discussion about Dallas Buyers Club.
Perfect.
He said, what did one gay guy say to the other at the bar?
What did he say?
May I push in your stool? This is how I grew up, and that's why I'm in therapy.
Yeah, shit.
I mean, it was once every 2 years I saw the guy.
But it's one of those things where it's gross, so I laughed.
it's also ridiculous.
It's gross.
Also, like, forget that it's a poop reference.
Yeah, totally.
No one ever pushes in anyone's stool.
No, like, never.
You don't have to. You push in a chair, maybe.
Sure, yeah. No, and it's like, it's like an actual stool you sit on. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like, no, it's like, can I push it in? Like, what? You're like, nah, I got it. Anyone can move their own stool.
No, what if he said that to Matthew McConaughey's character in Dallas Buyers Club? Well, you sure can push in my stool, but I hope you literally mean this stool, as I would like to be closer to the bar.
You mean that in a literal sense?
Yeah,
because I only have sex with ladies, as I'm a heterosexual, we know. Like the bartender's like, I've stopped saying it. Why are you in this gay bar? That's like my favorite, the Onion op-ed column. Why do all these homosexuals keep sucking my cock? And he's like a lumberjack guy. And at the article, I remember me and Kevin McGeehan crying reading that, because he's all these scenarios where he's like, there I am, just hanging out with what seems like a cool dude. We're both naked under a waterfall. Like, all these scenarios he shouldn't be in.
Oh, I love it.
All of a sudden, he's blowing me. Hey, what the hell, Jeff? All right, let's. So best of luck to you, man. And just, you know. Talk about it and understand that you should find your group, find your some people. Mm-hmm. You know,
read.
Yeah. So thanks for calling, dude. Next call, please.
Hi, Matt. My name is James. I was wondering if you've ever had any crazy ex girlfriends who try to control your life and shit. Because I'm dealing with an issue right now where if I don't do what my ex says, she will. Frame me for hitting her, and I'm having a real rough time with it, because I'm in school and whatnot, and she takes up literally all my time. I can't meet new people or do what I need to do. So I was just wondering if you'd ever had a crazy ex and how you dealt with distancing yourself and whatnot. Appreciate all you do, man. Thank you.
Thank you, man. I always stiffen, you know, like freeze up when a guy says to me, my crazy ex, because I've known a ton of people who dated women and they did things to, they were manipulative. I'm not judging you at all, but mm-hmm. it's like guys too often go, oh, my crazy ex. And it's like, were you shitty to her? Did you put across intimations and promises that you did not fulfill? Did you, mm-hmm. you know, it's a go-to thing where obviously men do not receive the judgment that women receive, not by a country mile. So you don't really, you know, if a woman's like, oh, my crazy ex, it's like you think, oh, geez, is he a murderer? Did he hack someone up? But it's like women are just crazy. So it's my crazy ex. I mean, I was in a toxic relationship, but mm-hmm. I don't think of her as crazy. I think I'll just lay it out. I was with someone too long, had an on again, off again thing, which I treated it as just like we're friends with benefits. Mm-hmm. But I knew she wanted more, and I should have cut it off a long time before that. And anytime I would bring it up, she would say, "Look, I know it doesn't mean anything. Stop bringing it up." But I knew she had hopes, and so that was on me. That was I always see it as the failure of our relationship and everything. And we went through fucking hell together, but I don't hold anything against her. She had certain struggles, and I think we all do with our mental and emotional health. But bottom line, even when the person that I think of that I went through with a toxic relationship, I don't think of her as crazy. Now, this person you're talking about, who's, you know, as you say, threatening you with coming out as filing assault charges or whatever, that's definitely sounds imbalanced. Jen, what would you say?
Well, yeah, so I agree with everything you said, so I don't need to say it again.
Okay.
But I will say that, you know, the unfortunate thing is some people are crazy all the time and some people are crazy in relationships, whether he was, you know, if he's ambivalent and it's making her nuts, you know.
Right.
Or maybe it's just she might have issues in that area. So unfortunately, she will get to go to work. She will get to have friends. She will get to appear normal. And you might be the only one seeing this. And that's very real too. And so, however, what he has to do is you can't be crazy alone. Like, in other words, he's part of it. Like, he is, what's his part in this?
Mm-hmm.
He is letting her control his life. And he, again, I'm going to say it again. Get yourself a book about codependency. Like, he's literally like the mom on Intervention. It's like, if my son does heroin in the basement, it's fine. It's like, you have to let the consequences happen.
Yes.
So I would
doc. God, I wish you could talk to me back in like 2008, 2007.
I probably didn't know this shit.
No, then. You did. You didn't know. You knew her. You didn't know what was going on.
Oh.
Yeah. But anyway. But it's like I'm not, because it's that thing where I was so afraid.
Yeah.
Not that this person threatened to do anything, but it was just like, oh, I was so afraid of consequence.
Yeah, you just have to let them happen, because it's better to be afraid and free than mm-hmm. afraid and tied up, because it's going to get worse. Like she's mm-hmm. and you're kind of part, you're actually making it worse. Like, you're actually giving her more fuel. So I would document everything she says. Take text message pictures, like document it all, print it out
mm-hmm.
so that you have it to go to. I have a weird feeling she is not going to frame you for hitting her.
I don't think she'll do
that. I would say even if you hit her, suffer the consequence. You know, it might not be as bad as you think what's going to happen.
You'll feel better about yourself.
But you're going to do this again with another person is my only issue. Like, she is the problem right now on paper because she's threatening. But the problem is, how do you even let it get here? How are you staying?
Yep.
It's going to happen again.
And listen, man, if you're going crazy right now going, no, you don't know all the stuff she's done.
Totally,
I've done nothing.
It's
like, okay, look. Apologies in that aspect. Neither one of us are assuming anything about you.
Yeah, let's say she's legit crazy. Then treat her like a crazy person, mm-hmm.
and
cut her out.
Cut her out. There, you know, restraining order. Whatever.
It sounds like she might have borderline personality.
Yeah, that's definitely. I mean, it's like I know a lot of people who have dated someone who they've broken up with, who've casually threatened suicide.
Yes,
you know? And it's like that's another way you kind of keeps like hold someone hostage. But it's like if you acquiesce, you're making yourself a part of it even then.
Yeah.
And it's so that feels like this same thing where you kind of going, and it's like, dude, it's so hard if someone I'm sure you feel absolutely powerless.
Mm-hmm.
Everything Jen said, basically. Yeah.
Yeah.
Look, I'm not judging you for calling her crazy. and who knows, maybe she is crazy or whatever, but just anyone listening, like, just be a little bit more careful about throwing out that term of crazy ex and all that shit, because it's just, I feel like women just get branded by that stuff, mm-hmm. where you know, even if this person was, you know, let's, one thing I love, and I don't know if you remember this, I love how Matt Dwyer always, when he dated someone and they were pulling some shit, he never used, not that crazy is obviously not sex specific, but mm-hmm. certain terms are, like bitch or cunt or whatever. Yeah. But he never did that, where he would say, not to crib our thing, but I'd be like, he'd be, some girl's yelling at him and he's like, would you fucking leave me alone or whatever? And like hang up and I'd be like, who is that? He's like, ah, some dipshit. I'm like, wasn't that a woman? And I was like, oh, that's on me. Women can be dipshits.
You know? I love that. That's so beautiful.
And it's fun to call women, like, not fun, but it's like to be like, don't, like, stop being an asshole.
Yeah, it's very, that's very feminist. Yeah. I'm not even kidding.
I guess, yeah. But it's, you know, but I feel like crazy ex is always. Yeah.
And what's like that TV show, which is not about a crazy ex.
Right. Yeah. You know, but I guess our advice to you is to burst into song. No, but hope that helps, man. Hope that helps.
Don't tell her where we live. Don't tell her anything. Do not play this for, like, they said.
Yeah. We're,
leave
we're,
us out of it.
If anyone's wondering, we record this live from Orlando, Florida. All right, let's hear the next call.
Hey, my name is Chandra. How to ask? So I have a friend who in traffic. Oh, okay. In traffic, she masturbates. And I didn't know if this was crazy or not. And I actually just got done with another friend who, she do too. Sorry, I'm...
How bad is the traffic?
I don't think it's a bad idea, you know. but I'm too scared to ask how they don't get caught and how they even... manage this in the first place. So I would like maybe you know, but or maybe there's just a better way to entertain yourself in traffic. I don't know. I kind of get
no way.
It. So
what better way could it be?
Great show.
Thank you, Chandra. Take it away, Jen.
Well, I was like, there's so many different ways to do it. You know, is she using a vibrator?
Let's assume these are both females. Her friends are both females.
Both females,
they
yeah.
They have to be, right? Because yeah. It's just, there's no missing the up and down of a man's fist.
Yeah, I thought.
It's like, come on. Unless you're like up in a fucking 18-wheeler or something.
I thought the first one, she said she.
Yeah, I think she did. And then she said another friend, but she didn't sexually designate them.
Oh, got it. I think it's probably, another woman. Yeah. I feel like, okay, I'm just going to, like, where is the traffic? How bad is it?
Yes.
Like, are you at a standstill?
Mm-hmm.
Because then it's weird because it seems like you're giving a voyeur or something. It seems like that maybe they want, like, I'm not imagining that they're, like, throwing their hair back and, like, getting attention. It's Southern California?
Okay.
Okay, so sometimes it's bad. Traffic is bad.
It's bad.
But
let's assume LA.
I just feel like it's, you're going to get in an accident, and B, like, I don't even know. There's so many different ways to do it as a lady. There's get your vibrator out, and then they're just, like, is she just sort of touching herself so that there's a pleasant feeling, or is mm-hmm. she, like, orgasming in the street? It all sounds weird.
It does sound weird.
It sounds like maybe start smoking or something. It sounds like where we used to smoke cigarettes to soothe our anxieties.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Now it's like, well, that's going to give me cancer.
Yeah. I mean, I personally, I'm picturing, like, she's in, like, a, you know, a vintage MG convertible with 1 foot up on the dash going like 90 and just whacking it. You know, like a maniac where you're like, oh my God. Like, to the point where everyone's intimidated and they're looking away. But no, yeah, I think you're right. I think it's probably just like perhaps a sundress and the hand is just under, you know, something like that.
Oh, right, a dress. Because I'm like jeans on. Like,
yeah.
Well, heart. And also one, you're driving without a hand.
Yes.
How can you text with that? How can you text and drive when you're masturbating?
More to the point.
Yeah. So that's dangerous.
That is dangerous.
You're texting, you're driving, and you're masturbating.
Chandra, first off, thank you for calling, because that's awesome. That's fucking great. And like, I love that it's two of your friends, that it's like, you two? Yeah. How long have you been doing that? Because have you met Linda? She does that too. And we've been making fun of her for 2 hours at this party. It's kind of fantastic that it's just like, yeah, it's just my thing. Like, I always thought, like men who do it are just obviously gross, but also like waiting for someone to look over and be like, oh, I'm going to finish looking at you or whatever.
Oh,
you
good
know what
point.
I mean? Like, I always think it's just like, you know, I mean, like, there's always stories of like, you know, 18-wheeler, like truck driver, male truck drivers who are just like, eh, I'm bored and yeah. I'm on speed, so I'm just going to rub one out and whatever. But it's like, it sounds as if, I mean, when she's like, isn't there something better to do? No.
No.
Not really. Not more fun to do.
No.
There isn't really in life.
God gave you a built-in entertainment system.
Exactly. So it's
I don't care how much channels on Sirius.
The question is not, isn't there a better thing to do? Is like, should they be doing it or not? And I don't know if they should or
this might sound sexist, but I think that you're right. A man masturbating is actually still keeping his eyes on the horizon. He's still looking at what's going on around him because he's wanting to make eye contact with that unwilling person.
Oh God, that's
and women
weird.
Are kind of more in their heads and more in their own world during it. And I feel like yeah. they're going to get in an accident.
Well, and also a guy could definitely crash, like looking around, waiting for someone to
oh,
meet
true,
eyes
yes.
with him. But it's, I think it's, I don't want to like make a, like who, I don't know. I've never jacked off drive. God,
no,
I can't.
By the way, I
don't
want to say I've never done this. Yeah.
I don't even understand how you can, like, a lot of people have enough trouble drinking coffee and driving a stick at the same time. How do you?
Oh my God, imagine if she also drives a stick.
Yeah, right. She's working the clutch while she's working the button. Hey-o!
Yeah, just pull over.
Yeah.
Just pull over.
Just pull over. Wait till you get home. And like, look, if you're on a lone stretch of highway, I don't know, go nuts. But I'm worried about the safety. I'm worried about the stopping and the starting and mm-hmm. kind of just like, I can only, you know, finish if I'm rolling and I keep stopping and fuck this guy, move. Merp, 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 I'm trying to come. Merp, merp. But Chandra's delightful. What a funny person. It's just like, she's just kind of like, I don't know, is this? Because I have, by the way, another friend. What? I love
her
it.
Her rhythm of speaking was entertaining. Mm-hmm. I think she was doing something else while talking.
She was. I love the fact that we get these phone. We have this one caller who was, you know, late 40s, gay dude whose boyfriend had broken up with him, and he was hammered drunk, and he just kept laughing about how he wasn't like slurring, but he's just like, oh my God, I'm so wasted. Anyway, listen, and he's like, my boyfriend broke up with me and said called me a trick, and was like, and he's like, and I'm worried about will I find someone, and I'm lonely and stuff, but he just kept laughing about it. I'm so sorry, I'm drunk, and he was like, I don't care. I don't care that he's drunk because he got drunk to get the courage to call.
Totally.
And she's kind of tripping over words because she's like, this is weird. Is this weird? It's just like, it's not weird. You can say anything on this fucking show.
And she ends the call with, I masturbate when I leave messages for podcasts.
And I made all that up. Click. Hey. I don't have any friends. So I guess the advice is just...
don't get in a car with them. I'm sure they do it alone. I don't have...
Oh my God. Hey, do you mind? I do. Chris, I really mind. But do you though? I mean, I'm driving.
It's not about you. It's just separate.
I don't think about you when I'm doing it.
That is true. We don't know why she knows this. She mm-hmm. didn't say her friend told her.
She's that friend that never gets in the way and never speaks up for herself. Yeah. And every time she's in the car with her friends are just touching themselves. Like
she just pretends she doesn't notice.
I mean, she's like, I want to say stop, but like... I don't want to be an asshole.
Yeah, it's their car.
It's their car.
And I never drive. So.
And it's like, Fridays is their time, their turn to drive the carpool. And there's like five people in the car. Do you guys mind? I mean, can you just drive fast so we get to work, please? I guess, I don't know.
I don't have any advice except tell your friends it's dangerous.
Yeah,
and
just tell them to be careful.
Yeah.
Just tell them to be careful. And I can't even answer if it's weird or not. I mean, yes, but
yeah, it's weird. It's weird.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, what am I saying? If you're driving a minivan and you and your kids like banging on the glass, like, mom, what's she doing? she lost something that she's sitting on. She dropped a jelly bean. She dropped some raisins. She can't find them. So thank you for being on the show, Jen. This was so much fun.
I hope I helped anybody.
You were fantastic. You were so good.
I would just like to remind everyone
yes.
that the guy from Dallas Buyers Club was a heterosexual.
He was a heterosexual.
Yeah.
Yes, and he enjoyed this. He enjoyed the sex with women.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway,
anything you want to plug or anything? Or?
Oh, well, I mean, I've got some road dates coming up if people want to come see me.
Sure.
I'm in Sacramento and San Francisco in November. Will this come up before November?
Yes.
November 10th and 11th, and I'm in Burlington, Vermont, October 11th through 13th. Then go to jenkirkman.com and click on tour dates.
There you go.
And come see me live this year.
Nice. Go see Jen. She is a joy. The phone number to call if you want to be a part of the dipshittery is 323-763-0228. 323-763-0228. The Patreon is at Advice From A Dipshit. We're on at Advice From A Dipshit on Facebook and at Dipshit Advice on Twitter. Theme songs by Ben Wise. Thanks to the amazing Amanda. And thanks to Jen Kirkman for making it great.
Thank you, Matt Bronger. And that number is his home number. Call it.
That is my home number.
Long.
Just any time of night, I will listen and I'll write down your thoughts.
Advice from a dipshit. Advice from a dipshit. Advice from a dipshit. It's advice from a dipshit with Matt Bronger.